Semi-finals 2019. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has been fired from his job at ASADA. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. It's a disappointing way to get to this podcast. I'm looking for work, mate. I'm out of a job.
Mate, you're on Struggle Street.
I am on Struggle Street. I don't know where to turn now. And I loved my job at ASADA.
You loved
because
it.
You know what I loved about it? Because you know I have a fetish for watching grown men wee into a cup. And that's how I got the job. I chased ASADA down and said, guys, if you need someone to watch someone do a drug test where they have to urinate, pull their pants all the way down to their ankles, lift up their top, tuck it under their chin, I'm your man.
And if they want to have a cheeky bubbler while they're at it.
Exactly. I don't mind where the urine goes, but if some of it gets in the cup, that's all I'm worried about. I said, I am your man for this job, and they gave me the job. And it wasn't until I had a bit of a slip-up with Willie Rioli.
Yeah, sure.
On August 20. So what happened? I went down to the West Coast Eagles, and I said, we're going to do a few random drug tests. I need Willie Rioli to grab a couple other players. And I'd had a bit of a big night the night before, and I was a little bit parched. And I said to Willie, can I grab a Gatorade? And he said, yeah, no worries. And so he said, I've already drunk out of this bottle. And I said, I don't really want to share the bottles. I'm a bit, you know, I'm a bit hygienic.
You're a germaphobe, like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I am. And so I said, why don't you pour some into this specimen cup?
Yeah, it's a delicious beverage.
Yeah. And so he poured, because the specimen cup is sanitized, right? Because it comes in a little bag. There's nothing in it already. And, you know, it just... It looks bad, but it's not as bad. Like, if I'm drinking out of, people go, is Rosie drinking piss? I go, no. It's Gatorade. Now, I forgot to empty that out, and I sent that specimen off to Canada where it gets tested by ASADA and WADA. And so they came back and said, this is tested positive for orange Gatorade. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's my fault.
No, no.
And so Willie has been suspended. And we'll probably get 4 years for my minor fuck-up.
That's on you, mate. 4 years of his life.
I know. But it was, you know, I was parched.
Oh, dude.
What's a man supposed to do?
I feel like you screw up a lot. You do inappropriate things and you fuck up.
I don't know why you do this podcast with me. Like, week after week, I'm a loser, mate. I can't help it.
He looks like he's in a fair bit of trouble. Hey. So, I mean, I know from the past, from having dinner with my good friend, Paul Puopolo, through a friend of the show, Craig Coombs, you have to pull your pants down to your knees and you have to lift your T-shirt up to your chest.
They basically need to see the urine leave your body.
Yes. Now, in the past, many people have kind of used the fake penis thing or they've inserted other people's urine into their bladder, but
What?
Yeah, there are people, other athletes, they insert other people's urine into their bladder.
No, not into their bladder. They use like a little balloon beside. They can't put other people, I can't take your wee and put it into my bladder.
No, I'm pretty certain you can. I think people have in the past. Yeah, put a catheter in and kind of do reverse entry. Yeah, I'm pretty certain, man. Like now I'm doubting myself, but I'm pretty certain.
I'm doubting you.
I'm pretty certain people put a catheter in and they empty out and then they put other urine in.
Really?
Dude, I reckon I'm right. I reckon I'm right.
All right. Okay. I'd love to see. I'm stunned. That is fucking next level. When you're inserting someone else's urine.
How bad are you cheating, though? You're like going, I have to have no urine in me whatsoever.
Yeah. And I need to get a doctor willing to put a catheter in, because that's not an easy process either.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, actually, you have to go outside. And so, I don't know how Gatorade got in there. So, he's either hiding performance-enhancing or recreational.
Yes, and apparently, from what's come out, is they said they weren't even looking for recreational drugs. So, they were just testing for performance-enhancing. So, had he done a proper test... And he just had a little bit of a big weekend.
Yeah, sure.
They wouldn't have picked up on that.
Yeah, hung out Northbridge Saturday night, going to Metro. Good night out.
No, they played in Melbourne on that weekend and he stuck around to hang out with some mates was the report that
I really?
Read.
Dan King Street, maybe.
Perhaps. And so maybe he was a bit like, oh, God, I can't remember what I did on the weekend.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Ipso facto, I'm going to pour some Gatorade. But isn't that on ASADA?
Well, I mean, you're right, and that's why you've been fired. But I wonder how it goes from I'm watching your penis, which is the reality of it. I'm looking at your urine come out into a cup.
Yeah.
And then how you got Gatorade in there.
Yeah.
Or seemingly got Gatorade in there. I mean, I haven't said that. Was it a big win? Like, was there a Gatorade Bukkake after the game?
Well, that's the thing.
Should they take that into account? Like, could it have dripped off his hair or something?
I mean, it might have dried in the 48 hours post-win, but you never know. You don't know, because some of those Gatorade Bukkakes are quite heavy.
Yeah, they're massive, yeah. Like, 7-8 bottles.
Well, what happens if, like, he went for the drug test and he's in the stall, the bathroom stall, with the ASADA tester, and then someone outside says, oh, I won third division in the lotto. And they're like, fucking yeah. And then
bang.
They go, Gatorade.
Gatorade.
Yeah. Everywhere. Splashes into a lot of it. Ends up in his sample cup. And therefore, not Willie Rioli's fault at all.
I think that's what's happened, actually. I think that's actually the true story. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll come out in the wash.
It's flung over the top of a bathroom stall into the sample. I mean, again, that's on you. That's on you.
Yeah, no. That's why I said to Asada, mate, I'm happy to stand down.
We have prelims, man. We got prelims. It's a bit Christmas Eve, isn't it, prelim week? Because, like, they're always kind of two great... they don't always end up being great contests, but, like, they're two big, big games, aren't they?
And they're both going to be at the MCG on Friday and Saturday afternoon. Friday night, Saturday afternoon. It's Collingwood and and Richmond, so it's fucking going to be huge. And Richmond Geelong on the Friday night is going to be enormous.
Yeah, Collingwood and Giants. Is it Collingwood Richmond, you fucking idiot?
No, they're both in the prelims is what I meant.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, okay, I take that back then.
You take that, yeah. How dare you, mate? How dare you question my credentials about the weekend's games?
I am not in Melbourne this weekend, but I feel like that Collingwood Giants game is a bit like the Richmond Giants game from 2017 where you go, I want to go to that by the fact I feel like I'm going to be going to a college game. You know, it's going to be 95,000 people and you're going to be 1,000 Giants fans.
1,000? Where are they getting them from? It'll be a huge weekend. All right, do you think Toby Green, he's been suspended?
Whoa! Do I hear a question without notice?
Absolutely.
Oh, sheesh.
Yeah, apologies.
It's been a Toby big couple Green of days, mate.
Has been given 1 week suspension for... He didn't... They're saying... For rubbing Lockie Neal's face? Like, it's not even a proper explanation.
It's fucked up. Like, it's fucked up.
It's a witch hunt.
Like, last week, he could go that, like, he grabbed Bump by the hair. He go, okay. Yeah. And that's what he did, you know, and kind of gave him a bit of, you know, rough and tough with the forearm. But from what I've seen on the footage, like, there's no proof that he actually did anything. If anything, it's on Lockie Neal. He's gone soft.
Well, he stayed down and said, oh, my nose hurt. And it's like, get up, mate. We've all had our faces raked.
It's really fucking weird, yeah. I reckon they'll contest it and I reckon he'll get off, might get another fine. You used the word witch hunt and I agree entirely, my friend.
I remember there was a witch who, in Salem back in the day, she was off to the big dance.
Yeah,
and behind the play, she's done a round arm swinging.
No, and she behind the goal's footage got her.
Yeah, yeah. She swung a fist into a wizard and dropped him. And that's where the term witch hunt comes from.
Yeah, sure. No, she got
she missed the grand final.
It was brutal. Yeah.
4 weeks and death.
Yeah, she floated. It was evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine that was the tribunal.
Yeah.
Or if he got burnt at the stake.
Yeah. Toby Green, we throw him in the air. If he floats, he can play in the prelim.
But I reckon he gets off. I reckon Tomahawk, he got a week, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, and I think that's a bit more definitive. Like, he did clock the bloke. And he was apologetic and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm sure there was a bit of scragging going on during the game. Yeah. But he did actually clock the bloke.
Well, you know you're in trouble, I reckon, as a player, when you go over to check on how the person is.
That you've bashed.
And then you go over post-game and he hugged Will Schofield. Do you reckon Schofield wanted to take that hug? He's like, mate, get off me. You fucking dropped me behind play.
Have you ever apologised on the field?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, sure. I remember being like under 10s or whatever and like a kid got hurt, not on my team actually. And I kind of like, because, you know, kids cry. And, you know, when I was a little kid, I was like, nah, mate, you don't you don't cry when you get hurt.
Is that right?
Yeah, mate. I was dermy.
So you're a 9-year-old and you're getting stuck into other children for...
No, I wasn't getting stuck into him, but I was like, I mean, I supported him. I was there. I called out for the trainer and stuff like that. I didn't hurt him. It was a teammate, yeah. But I was the kind of dude who, probably up until I was about 13 or so, if the team sat down, I stood. I was like, nah, you don't sit, mate. You don't fucking sit.
Mate, you're a hard ass.
Yeah, you don't fucking sit. I remember when I was probably 23 or so playing... VAFA, the AMOs, best first year player, St. Mary's Legions, 1999. Don't want to talk about it. But I remember hitting a bloke on the back, big ruckman, and
on the back.
Yeah, yeah. He kicked it, and I just gave him a cheap shot, and yeah. he turned around, he loomed over me, and I said to him, "Hey, mate, you got a bit of blood on your nose. You might want to get rid of that before the umpire checks you out for blood rule," and then ran away.
I cannot imagine you giving a cheap shot.
Yeah, no, it was a cheap shot. Yeah, yeah. I got him good. But, you know.
That's just not... What's your take? Another question without notice.
Oh,
Charlie Cameron injured his elbow.
Yep.
Came back onto the ground with it heavily strapped. Was targeted by Adam Kennedy of the Giants. And then the umpire comes over and says, mate, you do that again, I'm paying a free kick against you. It's not in the spirit of our game.
That's a really good question. I actually defend the umpire in that regard by the fact this, I think the spirit of the game needs to be upheld. But at the same time...
I think it is well within the spirit of our game to target an injured player.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I mean, how injured too? Like if you're back on the ground, your elbow, whatever.
You're back on the ground, you're 100% fit. That's what I say.
Cross the white line. But yeah. I mean, it's coming back to that kind of that Ben Stratton thing during the year. Like, you know, the pinching, the punching in the arm. Like, you know, how illegal is that, you know? It doesn't look good. But again, is that a free kick?
Yeah, so that's the thing. I mean... He wasn't doing anything illegal to Charlie Cameron.
No.
Whereas Stratton's pinching, I guess, is that illegal?
I suppose the tribunal found it was, yeah.
I think it should be encouraged. Like, if you know, like, each team at quarter and half and three-quarter time, they must present the opposition team's medical reports. And so you get an inside knowledge. You go, I didn't know he had a fucking quad injury. Let's go for it.
Shit.
Let's target him. Oh, he subluxed his shoulder in the first quarter. Mate, I'm going to rip that arm up.
Or do we need to change the theory of the spirit of the game? Like, is the spirit of the game to target the injury?
Well, I mean, I've always, in my understanding, reading of the game, it is. And that's what I've always wanted to, you know, that's, I just wanted people, like, you know, when Stevie J and Stevie Baker went at it.
Yeah, yeah.
How great was that? He hit his hand. Stevie J throws an elbow, splits him open. Everyone loves it. Theatre.
Stevie J is great. Stevie Baker as well. I had to do a bit of research on Stevie Baker earlier this year. Did I ever tell you this?
No.
But he had a children's entertainment company with Stephen Milne.
Really?
Called Saintly Entertainment. And so they'd come to your birthday party and they'd do a bit of a clinic and bring a cake.
Yeah.
And they'd, you know, play a few party games. That was like their business for a while. Can you imagine if you're an 8-year-old and fucking Stevie Baker and Milne show up at your birthday? And just go,
you'd be pretty disappointed.
Go, what the fuck did I do wrong?
Yeah, what's going on here?
Why
did
Mum and Dad hate me? But it was the weirdest thing. I'm doing the research on him. And he actually, like, doing the research, like, he actually comes across as a really good bloke. Like, you know, big family man, you know, just, you know, a hard nut, you know, hard as they come.
But he'd always tag people during pass the parcel.
Yeah,
so when they get to take it, just punch it out of their hands.
That's the thing. Like, it was the weirdest small business enterprise I've ever heard in my entire life. Milne and Stevie Baker just showing up at your kid's birthday party. Going, yeah, $50, it's cash, you all right?
What do you reckon, like, how did that come about? They're just sitting in the change rooms post-game. No, Ross Lyon's giving him a bake, and he goes, and Baker turns to Milne and just goes, you know what we should do, mate? And Milne goes, oh, what's that? And he goes, children's parties, I reckon.
The weirdest thing ever.
Untapped market, Milne. Yeah, okay. I wonder if they, like, dressed up, like if he, you know, one went as a clown. And
well, you'd be sad if they weren't face paint.
Yeah.
You know, red, white and black, something like that.
I suppose even if you're a St Kilda supporting kid, you'd be like, oh, really? Nick Riewoldt's there? Cozzy?
But then also
Lenny
like
Hayes. I would love Lenny Hayes. What about Rob Harvey? Could he come down? You go, no. You got Bakes and Milne.
But even then, like St Kilda, like, you know, the supporter base isn't that great. So like, you know, if you barrack for Geelong or something, and what kid out there is going, oh fuck, I want Bakes and Milne to show up at my birthday party. It's the weirdest thing ever.
Hey, I tell you what's hard to come by at this time of year is good value finals tickets.
Oh, it depends. But depends what spot you're sitting in, mate, I suppose.
Oh, is that right?
Sometimes you just kind of put on a collar and just wander in. You know, it's good fun.
But Craig Hutchison's got a company called Ballpark Entertainment.
Yeah. They're in
and
trouble.
And they've got themselves into trouble because they were, I believe the word is called scalping.
Well, gouging might be another word. The gouging.
That's a less offensive word, isn't it? But it's effectively scalping, isn't it?
Can we address how many fucking pies that Hutchie has his finger in?
Yeah.
So he has SDN, he's got Croc Media, he's got Ballpark Entertainment. Constantly
He's got that AFL Nation thing as well, which is like an extension of
He controls SDN. The radio rights, basically.
Yes, he does.
Constantly doing, you know, trips to the Super Bowl, shit like that. Like, like I admire the man's thirst for a dollar.
Yes.
But it turns out that they were being selling tickets. They've been told not to do it now. But they were selling tickets. And I didn't realise this, but it's against the law in Victoria to sell tickets 10% above the market price.
Yes, that's right. So they were selling level 2 tickets for $93. And they were selling them for $170. So they're almost double the price.
But here's another thing. They said access to premium beverage and food outlets. Okay.
Yeah.
So I imagine that means maybe you get that on the house. So maybe you can drink and eat another $73 worth.
Well, no, that's what you'd assume. But it didn't happen. It was just you went to the bar and food outlets that every other chump went to.
Really? You just went to like the David Needs bar and the Jim Size bar? Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, dude. Oh, this is a fucking rort.
Yeah. It says you get Category 1 reserve seating and access to the outlets, but it's just his pitch included that it was not a normal cash bar and people were able to take their bought drinks back to their seats in a plastic cup.
Oh, la-di-da.
Like everyone else at the ground.
So really, access to premium beverage and food outlets. Okay, so let me tell you, level 2 in the MCG, or just anywhere in the MCG, where are the premium beverage and food outlets? Like, where it's like Red Rooster, it's fucking hot chips, it's a hot dog. Like, you don't get a fucking, you know, fancy fucking caviar.
No, but you get to take those back to your seats.
Oh, shit. Oh, well, that's changed everything.
otherwise, some of the other tickets, you go buy a hot dog and they're like, no hot dogs in your seats, mate.
Yeah.
So you got to eat it like an animal out the back of the stand.
You got to eat it here right in front of me. I got to watch you.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like a sarda. They go, pull your pants down, lift your top up, eat your hot dog. And he also, so this company, Ballpark, there was an article the following day. He was doing the same thing with tickets into the birdcage at the races.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Okay, yeah.
And apparently you can't buy tickets into the birdcage. You're not allowed to.
So how do they get the tickets? So they just buy them. Because, I mean, today Ticket Tech went nuts. And everyone's online kind of saying, you know, it's frozen and not helping. So how do the fuck do these guys get the tickets?
That's a really good point. Isn't the grand final's more about corporates and other games. They reckon the prelim is the most pure game of the season, isn't it, in the finals?
Yes, they're real fans.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've no idea how they get access to so many tickets that they could on-sell them. Like, does the AFL give them an allocation because they're a like a rights holder for the...
That's a really good question, actually.
For the broadcasting?
I'll get Gil on the line.
If you wouldn't mind. Will Jordan DeGoey play in the grand final if Collingwood makes said grand final?
It's a really good question, and it is a question without notice, so shame on you.
Good lordy. Fuck.
I say yep. Too good
a player. You reckon they'll are they going to roll some dice?
They are, but don't forget, Adam, it is the big dance.
Yeah, no, that's a point. That's a good point. So
he just came back from Munich, where he went off to see the famous doctor.
Dr. Hans Wilhelm Müller Wolfhart.
Hell of a name. You're probably related to him, man.
Yeah, probably. I've never had a hamstring injury. I think it's just in the German breeding.
Yeah, but I don't know what he did to Jordan this time.
What does this doctor do?
Well, that's the thing.
Is better than... Does he go, mate, just do this stretch? And he's like, oh, I've never done it. Fuck, that's good.
Well, surely, like, even a trip to Munich, you're on a plane for 24 hours. Like, see now, like, yeah. Surely that's not great for the hamstrings if you're an athlete.
It's not great for your hamstrings. It's not great for your back. But plus all the duty-free you bought back, that would have been a strain on the body, the big Toblerone.
You got to get the big Toblerone, yeah. But the he's famous for the calf's blood, okay?
Yes.
So he did that. I think Max Rook was really the first one to kind of go over there.
Max Rook, and I think that was 2009.
Yeah.
But he did it mid-season. He'd had hamstring troubles. He eventually got up for the grand final.
Here we go. Here's the nickname for him. He's known as Healing Hans.
There you go. You like that, do you?
Do you think that's on the door? He's treated,
I'd say so.
He's treated Usain Bolt, Ronaldo, Michael Jordan, Boris Becker, Diego Maradona. Bloody hell. Got high-profile athletes there.
Tell you what, he's been around for a while.
Well, yeah. Like, he's done really well. And also, like, I mean, if Diego, like, that's back in the early 90s, he would have been doing that.
Well, same as Michael Jordan would have been around the same time. I don't remember Boris Becker. At least Boris Becker can go, I'll jump in the car. All these other guys have got to, you know, fly across the world to go visit Hans.
Boris
and does that mean no one at Bayern Munich has ever done a hammy?
No, I think it's officially on record. No one ever has.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Boris Becker is awesome. He impregnated a lady in a cupboard at a restaurant.
In a cupboard.
Yeah.
And you know what? You've got to have good hammies to be able to do that, because there's not a lot of room to move around when you're boning someone in a cupboard.
I mean, if we can use the phrase "good in the shoebox,"
yeah,
I think it applies
Becker
to Boris Becker.
Yeah, I would actually I'd fly Boris Becker in to talk to my midfield group and go, boys, this is how you work in tight.
I'd actually play Boris Becker in the grand final. I think he'd be good. He'd be a mature age recruit.
Get him in the team.
That is one of the most awesome stories ever.
Yeah.
Can I take you through a letter, Adam?
Please.
So
now you've recently made a move permanently up to Rod Carter Studios.
Rod Carter Studios, and I've decorated very well. Mm-hmm. So I looked through a cupboard yesterday, and basically I put stuff in storage in May last year, and I thought I did a good cull, right?
Yep.
Turns out I'm a fucking hoarder. Okay. I had like dozens of VHS tapes that I thought I needed to hang on to. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I've dumped. I've got about 100 DVDs, maybe 150 DVDs, and guess what? That shit's online.
Jesus.
So I found a letter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was from Wayne Jackson.
The Wayne Jackson?
The fucking Wayne Jackson. This has blown my mind, okay? I'll talk you through it. So
okay.
It's dated from Wayne Jackson. W.R. Jackson, I should be honest. It's November 24, 1998.
98, so back a year before you won your Best First Year Player Award.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. So, well, let me think. I'm 21.
Okay.
I'm 21.
21. So this is already setting up a young, sad Chamber.
Yeah, gotcha. And by the way, his email, it's at the bottom of the page. His email, Wayne J., at ausfoot, so ausfoot.com.au.
What a weird. And that's on official AFL letterhead.
That's on official AFL letterhead. I'll put it online. I'll take a photo of it and put it online when we finish this. So I wonder if you could email Gil, like gillanm at ausfoot.com.au.
No, I would say that would have been back in the days when emails were very, very fresh.
Yeah, sure.
Gil would be like, you know, Gillan.McLaughlin@AFL.com.au or something like that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I'm a bit sad. It's like you know, WJacko@AussieMail. Okay, so I can't really remember this, okay?
So you've written something to him clearly to get this response?
I have, okay. And I've clearly written a letter suggesting that there is some kind of conspiracy against the Hawthorn Football Club.
Oh,
okay?
God. Now, this is fucking sad.
I reckon this might have been back in the time of they were going to get rid of Waverley. Like, Waverley finished 99. I reckon...
Okay.
I reckon I'm trying to get work out what my vibe was, okay?
And also, it's like post-merge, just post-merger talk of you and Melbourne, which was 96, was it?
Yeah, post-merger. There was a lot of conspiracy theories back about post-merger, like that, you know, the AFL was, you know, trying to fuck us over.
Yeah, so you're in an era of paranoia down there at Hawthorn.
Yeah, sure. X-Files, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I don't really have a memory, but I'm sure it happened. Because yep. I have the letter in front of me. Okay. So, can I? I'll read it out to you. Okay.
Yeah.
Dear Mr. Chamberlain.
Oh,
that's very nice.
Yeah, it's very. I would have said dear Michael, but very. Keep it on a professional level. I like it.
I wish to acknowledge receipt of your letter of November 22, 1998. So 2 days later, he wrote back to me.
Okay, so you've done this. This is even better. Well after the football season's ended.
Yeah, it's November. I'm still
thinking
about it.
So you've been stewing on something for 2 months. I've got to write a letter to Wayne Jackson.
And so if I remember correctly in 98, okay, I reckon in 98 we won like the final five games of the year. We kind of, in 98 and 99, if I remember correctly, we kind of came home with a storm. And so we didn't make the finals, but we kind of, I think we were like, you know, on like four games come, you know, round 17, and then we won the next five. Yep. So we had the kind of the Hawk Walk kind of thing going on. Do you remember the Hawk Walk?
Oh, fucking yes.
It's cool. I don't know why they didn't bring the Hawk Walk back when we won the flags.
Was one of those games where you came back from about 200 points down against Brisbane?
Nah, St Kilda. Do you mean St Kilda at Waverley?
Oh, was it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that was 99, but it wasn't in the final few rounds. That was early in the season. That was when I was playing really well and got best first-year player at St Mary's. Yeah. So, okay. I wish to know this received your letter, November 22. Okay, so I got this on... So he got the letter on 22, sent me the reply on 24. So he fucking... Wow. He went into print pretty fucking quickly.
He's read it, he's had a night's sleep on it, and then he's written a reply. He probably didn't sleep.
It's such an amazing thing. I can't believe I found this. Okay. Mm. In reading your letter, I was tempted to try and respond... But your view that there is a conspiracy against the Hawthorn Football Club
fucking
from the nature of your letter seems incapable of being countered by consideration of the facts. So he's basically called me a fucking idiot. In the first sentence, he said, mate, okay, you're a fuckhead.
Yeah.
And I refuse to respond to your fucking proclamation.
Because when you look at facts, what you have said is fucking madness. Now, can you please read that sentence once again?
Oh, fuck. I wish I had the original. In reading your letter, I was tempted to try and respond. Okay. So he was like, you know, I want to give you a fair...
I want to answer him. Yeah.
I want to chip you out, mate.
Yeah.
Try to respond. But your view that there is a conspiracy against the football club... from the nature of your letter, it seems incapable of being countered by consideration of facts. He must have thought I was a fucking loony.
That is a beautiful sentence.
Oh, dude.
That is a beautiful... He has shut you down in such an eloquent manner.
He's called me a fuckhead
without
using the word fuckhead. I actually, exactly. I have no idea what I actually wrote to him, but if he just wrote back, dear Mr. Chamberlain, you're a fuckhead, sign Wayne Jackson, I'd be like, yep. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair
call. I've alerted the police.
Here we go. Paragraph 2. The Hawthorn Football Club is an important club in the AFL, as indeed are all 16 clubs. Shows how far we've come at. We've got 18 now.
Yeah.
In fact, the very bias of our competition and the policy of the AFL is to provide support in an equal manner to all teams and thus to have a reasonable chance of winning the premiership. Capital P on premiership.
Oh, there you go. And also, so what that tells me is that you've said that Hawthorn have been singled out for unfair treatment, whilst in your head, some other teams had received better treatment than the Hawks.
I reckon you're right. Yeah. Fuck, I wish I had the original. I fucking wish I had it. Here we go. Continue. I regret that your interpretation...
He doesn't regret it, but he'll say that.
I regret that your interpretation... of the overwhelming evidence is from the perspective of someone not wishing to see the balanced view. Okay, so
here we go.
I've put forward a few points, obviously, and he's gone, okay, your views are not right. You're fucked in the head.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I'm writing back to you.
why would he? I would have thought he got so many crackpot letters that he just went, I'm not even going to. Maybe yours was so over the top that he's just gone, I need to shut this guy down. He's an idiot.
I mean, I've got no idea what I wrote, but I feel like I wouldn't have been abusive or anything. Like, I wouldn't have said, you know, you're a dickhead. I would have said probably, I would have put forward a few points, I reckon. And I think it would have been Waverley. I think it would have been maybe the draw. But I don't know, so I can only kind of, you know, go off the top of my head.
Do you remember writing this article?
No.
Article, letter.
I have. Okay, interesting. I feel like I did. I mean, obviously I did. He fucking wrote me a letter. So it's hardly like, I just opened the mailbox one day and I was like, oh, I got a letter from Wayne Jackson accusing me of being mad.
Being mentally unstable.
But yeah, I'm sure, surely I did it. And but I don't quite know the impetus why I did it.
Yeah, okay. But I think we're picking it up.
Well, definitely there were a lot of kind of anti-Hawthorn conspiracies going around post-merger, you know, that we were being punished.
Sure.
And now, on reflection, I'm like, I have no idea why we thought that. Okay, I regret that your interpretation of the overwhelming evidence is from the perspective of someone I'm wishing to see in the balanced view. Okay, I love this. Okay. Your interpretation of overwhelming evidence. He's called me a fuckwit like 3 times in this letter already.
And really, I don't know, what did Wayne Jackson do? Was he a lawyer or something? Because his language is really great and really cutting without being aggressive.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, yeah, I don't think he was a lawyer. I'll probably CEO of another company. I think he's a bit of a... I thought he was
like an administrator or something, but he's clearly dealt with weirdos before in the workplace.
Yeah, I feel like... I've got a feeling like he runs a farm or something now, so maybe comes from kind of that world.
Yeah, okay.
Here we go. Nevertheless... I hope you do continue to follow the Hawks for a long period and your club does have the success that it deserves. Oh, thank you, Wayne Jackson.
It doesn't deserve it, but continue.
Here we go. The team finished the 1998 season impressively and has a very attractive opening to the 1999 season.
There you go. You've whinged about the fixture.
Yours sincerely, Wayne Jackson.
So you've got a very attractive opening, which means the fixture has come out. You've complained. But see, it's in November. What are you complaining about the year that's just gone, you fucking weirdo?
Maybe I did complain about the fixture.
Well, he says you've got an attractive opening. So you've gone, oh, we've had to travel. We've had to be blah. This has been this. Oh, I'm fucking not happy. Sometimes the MCC didn't have, you know, the coffee that I liked. Yeah, exactly. You've arced up. And he's just going, I got to shut this idiot down.
It's amazing. It's an amazing article. If I had a time machine, you know, people go, oh, yeah, go back and kill Hitler. If I had a time machine, I'd go back and
kill you.
Well, basically, yeah. I'd watch myself writing this letter just to find out what I wrote. But it's an amazing find. It's genuinely incredible.
I just love the speed at which he got back to you. He's like, nah, I'm not letting this crackpot think that he's got away with this.
I'm shutting this bloke down. But do you think, how many letters do you reckon they get? Like, I know personally, I've written to Clarko, like, probably twice, I reckon.
On email?
Nah, in a letter.
You've sat down in the time that Clarko has been coach.
Yes.
And you have written, you've penned... a letter like a fucking madman.
I have.
Not even an email.
Yeah, I reckon I've penned a letter. I reckon, again, I'm a bit vague on it, but I reckon kind of 07-ish. I reckon I wrote him a letter saying, you know, you're doing a good job, thank you. And then I reckon maybe after...
You just wrote a letter like a pat on the back.
Yeah, encouragement. And then I reckon maybe after 13 or 14, maybe I wrote him a letter as well. I don't think I got a reply because I probably would have kept that. But I reckon I've gone into writing twice to Clarko.
That is incredible.
And even saying that out loud, I fucking hate myself.
Yeah, no, we all do, mate. That is really fucking tragic. But also, like, not even an email, which you can fire off quite quickly. You've had to write a letter.
Yeah. When you're in writing means something. Like, getting a letter, that means something. Like, if I wrote you a letter, you know, that means something.
No, it's above and beyond.
Yeah. Handwriting, you know. I mean, this is typed from Wayne. It's not... He's got his real signature. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Which probably means that maybe either he wrote it, maybe someone else wrote it.
No.
Or, you know, dictated.
It's yeah. It sounds like he's written it.
Fucking.
And hell. I imagine he would have typed it. He had time. It's late November.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, he's probably chilled out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And 20 years ago too. What are you doing? You know, there's no AFLX to plan.
Yeah. Yes. I can't believe Clarko never got back to you. That's very sad.
I don't think he has. Yeah, but
almost as sad as you writing the letters.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure. But I mean, that's me. Like, I mean, you know, you say what you like, but I'm not that weird. So imagine the loonies.
Mate, I think the evidence is really stacking up here. I think you've got a letter in front of you that really goes against that argument. Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, sure, I can't. Yeah, I'll defeat myself with my own point.
Yeah.
But I reckon, I mean, you know, okay. I'm not Joffa. So, I mean, imagine what the, well,
yeah.
But imagine the Looney Tunes would be writing to them or sending emails or whatever. Or
mate, you sent a letter
to Wayne Jackson
calling out a conspiracy against Hawthorne, and you're going other people.
Okay.
You're fucking mad.
Okay. It's fair to say I don't have a leg to stand on this fight.
Yeah, I don't believe so.
Oh, fuck. I wish I had it live show last week. We're it out yes. again at the grand final show. Because we've got a grand final show coming up. Try booking. Get your tickets. We've got Will Anderson. We're going to have phone in from Charlie Clawson. We're going to have special guests. Grand final show Sunday, day after the grand final. I think it's Sunday, September 29, if I remember correctly. 4 o'clock at the European Beer Cafe. Get your tickets now. Try booking.
Get on board. We got any footballers in real life, mate?
We do. Let me check them out. We got one here from Mark. Oh, European Adventure. Footballers in real life for you boys at the Oval in sunny London. Watching Warner fail again. And sitting behind me is Jack Silvani. Alex Basolo and some other bloke that I reckon plays footy, but I can't put a name to it. All shirtless and all look like they've slept 2 days in the last month.
Ah, I wouldn't have thought... Is cricket the shirtless, particularly in London? Although they're not, it's not Lords, but I just wouldn't have thought that... It was a shirtless kind of place.
Yeah, sure. Oval. I think the Oval, yeah, I feel like the Oval's a bit more official, but also I suppose the summer out there is a bit mild, so get your sun on while you can.
Get your tan on, yeah, okay.
Here we go, from Jack.
What have we got?
This is a good one. I like this one.
Do you?
It's a Rosie in real life.
Hmm.
I'm a local delivery man in the inner north of Melbourne. I was delivering my round opposite the abode of one A. Rosenbarks last Monday at the delivery friendly hour of 9:30 a.m. when I noticed an Uber Eats driver hovering on the footpath. All of a sudden the door is open to greet the driver, and lo and behold, it's the man himself. Obviously doing very well for himself to get breakfast delivered. He gave a polite thanks to the man and disappeared within a second, possibly refueling after a night at Yaya's.
No, I did not go to Yaya's last Sunday night.
Ordering breakfast, mate. What do you get?
There's a great toasted sandwich joint in North Fitzroy called Afro and Wolf.
Okay.
And they do a great brekkie toasty. And so I'm quite the regular there. People are always like, what do you get for breakfast? It's like, well, you get the toasty, mate. It's not like I get scrambled eggs.
Yeah, sure, sure. But yeah, but it's a bit weird ordering breakfast, mate, on Uber Eats. Come on, mate.
Mate, I'd partaken in a party the night before, and I was a little bit dusty and I didn't want to leave the house. The NFL was on. I had things to do, mate. I haven't got time to go out for breakfast. Get the breakfast brought to me.
Hey, we're going to hit the road. Hey, don't forget Adam's book too, by the way, guys. Paris and Other Disappointments. And also our live show, trybooking.com. You can head down there and get the tickets for our grand final live show with Will, and Charlie's going to phone in. We're going to hit the road. We are junktimeinfopod@gmail.com, at Facebook and Twitter and the gram. Girls.
You're weird, Chamber.